The children of America, 20% of whom live in poverty, have no one to advocate for them, Reno said. Reno's zeal as a protector of children no doubt played a role in her disastrous handling of the Branch Davidian raid in Waco, Texas. But Janet Reno was precisely the sort of attorney general that, at least in theory, the author of It Takes a Village would want. Clinton describes an enormous network of activists, advocates, organizations, associations, busybodies, bureaucrats, and meddlers who make up the army of qualified citizens whose task it is to protect the village's interests in our children. I cannot say enough in support of home visits, she gushes. The village needs a town crier and a town prodder. Again, scrape the saccharin from the sentiment and look underneath. Imagine if, say, the former Attorney General John Ashcroft had said, I cannot say enough in support of home visits. The shrieks of fascism would be deafening. For Hillary Clinton, the most important front in the war to protect children is the first 3 years of life. These precious moments are so critical that we cannot leave parents to cope with them on their own. Hence, a vast array of programs are necessary to plug parents into a social network that alleviates their responsibilities. As Christopher Lash noted well before she ever wrote It Takes a Village, Clinton puts her faith in programs. The proliferation of children's programs, Head Start, daycare, prenatal care, maternal care, baby clinics, programs for assessing standards in public schools, immunization programs, child development programs, serves her as an infallible index of progress. The 20th century gave us two visions of a dystopian future, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and George Orwell's 1984. For many years, it was assumed that 1984 was the more prophetic tale. But no more. The totalitarianism of 1984 was a product of the age of Stalin, Lenin, Hitler, and Mussolini, the dictators of a continent with a grand tradition of political and religious absolutism. Brave New World was a dystopia based on an American future where Henry Ford is remembered as a messiah. It's set in the year 632 AF, after Ford, and the cult of youth that Huxley so despised defines society. Everything is easy under the world state. Everyone is happy. Indeed, the great dilemma for the reader of Brave New World is to answer the question, what's wrong with it? There's a second important difference between the two dystopias. 1984 is a masculine vision of totalitarianism, or rather, it is a vision of a masculine totalitarianism. Huxley's totalitarianism isn't a boot stamping on a human face forever, as described in 1984. It's one of smiling, happy, bioengineered people chewing hormonal gum and blithely doing what they're told.